Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Lou Anne Crane, and your host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. Lou Anne, yesterday we had an informative conversation with a good friend of ours, Dr. Walt Larimore, and he brought the topic of puberty in young adolescent boys to our Family Talk listeners.
And, you know, we all know this topic can be embarrassing for young kids. At times, let's face it, it's even difficult for parents to bring up. I've got three boys. I understand this well. But if you are wanting your sons to be prepared for what that stage of life will bring, you definitely need to stay tuned for today's program and get caught up if you miss the first half as well.
And you can do that and request a copy of Dr. Larimore's latest book, The Ultimate Guy's Body Book, Not So Stupid Questions About Your Body, by visiting drjamesdobson.org.
And first, just a little bit more information on our guest. He is a physician and author of nearly 20 books, one of which we'll be discussing today. Dr. Walt Larimore has been married to Barb for 38 years, and they have two grown children. And Ryan, he's also been a very close friend of your dad's for years.
Oh, definitely a very close family friend. So let's pick up the conversation now as my dad talks with Dr. Larimore on how he's addressing this topic with families here on our Family Talk broadcast.
Walt, it was such a pleasure to have you here in the studio with us again yesterday, and I thoroughly enjoyed that time together. It went by so fast,
yeah,
and that's
good.
When you know you're on to something important. And we were talking about your new book, The Ultimate Guy's Body Book, which is really about puberty and answering 30 very important questions that kids ask. And they may not ask them, but just think them, and there's a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety that goes along with it. And you have really been very straightforward with them. It's for parents and boys to sit down and talk about. This is a good piece of work. You're proud of this, aren't you?
Well, I'm pleased with how it came out. But Jim, so many books are written by one person and it's just their opinion. And I wanted a resource for parents that they could trust as biblically sound and medically reliable. And so there's over 60 consultants for this book. And then parents and kids. We had a whole panel of adolescent kids who made wonderful suggestions. So I want parents to know that they're going to have a resource that they can trust, not just one person's
this
opinion.
This book could have been 1,000 pages.
It was initially.
You know, my book, Preparing for Adolescence, was written many years ago, and it was not actually written for the public. It was written primarily for Danae, who was 13, and so I recorded it to start with. And the word got around that I'd done this, and my church, the junior high department, asked if they could use it. I said yes, and they took it and used it. They liked it, and they went to the publisher, and the publisher then. So the rest is history. But what I started to tell you is that I still have people come up to me on the street and say, I read your book when I was 12, 13 years of age, and that's the first time I'd heard those things and how helpful that was. You're trying to do the same thing.
Well, especially when you talk about the sexual things. Jim, you've preached it for years, but sex is God's gift. He designed it. It's not a hiccup in evolutionary process. And he set rules and guidelines and boundaries. And when that gift is exercised, following those rules, it's an amazing, wonderful, incredible thing. In fact, the research could not be more clear that people who have a strong faith in God, who are married, have the most frequent, the most satisfying sexual relationships. Who have the worst? It's the hookups, the sex in the city, the cohabiting parents. And so I want kids at the proper time to hear from their parents that this is an amazing gift practiced the right way. And each of our kids have decisions to make about a variety of topics that we address in this book. I want them to have the information to make the right decision.
So back up just a minute, Dr. Walt, before we go any further and talk to the father or mother who says, I don't even have a good relationship with my son. How do I even bring this up? What are the steps I go through?
For parents who are in very, very difficult relationships, I was just counseling with a banker last week who has, Jimmy's probably made every mistake that he could. He's not read your material. Our audience should know that
it's
you
not
and I,
too late.
No, that was my point to him. It's not. But to sit down with this banker and say, you know, step one in repairing that relationship is to just confess first to your Father in heaven If we confess our sin, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Kids are somewhat the same. And so just to sit down with your kids and say, I've goofed.
Yeah.
I am sorry. I have made some mistakes. I want to begin to spend some time with you. As step one. Ryan, you were talking about Lincoln being six and how quickly he's grown. When we talked last time, when Kate, our oldest, turned six, my daddy called. And he was convicted that I was working two jobs. I thought I was providing for my family. I thought I was doing the right thing. And he knew it was wrong. And he didn't know how to confront me. He prayed about it. He thought about it. And he called me on Kate's sixth birthday. And he said, "Congratulations, Walt." And I said, "For what?" He said, "1/3 of your life with her is over."
That rock you?
It rocked me to my soul. And I began to talk to God about it, began to talk to Barb about it. And my response to that was to leave part of my profession, to cut back and to spend time with the kids. What parent doesn't say, "I want to spend quality time with my kids"? The research shows, and practical experience shows, quality time only comes within quantity time. Mm-hmm. And there is no greater gift you can give your kids apart from prayer than your time. And so for the dad that's made the mistake, for the mom that's made the mistake, to confess it and then to begin to invest time. And it may mean changing some priorities and changing some relationships. But I've told you the story about at a physician's conference, our dear friend, Dick Swenson, he and Linda were teaching a parenting workshop, and I was asked to introduce him. And just before the parenting workshop, Kate said, "Can I introduce Dr. Swenson?" I said, "Sure." Mm-hmm. And she said this to the audience. She said, "My daddy's giving me a present every Christmas, every birthday, every Easter, and at other holidays for my whole life." She said, "I can't tell you 5 or 6 of them. I know that they were all special, but I can't remember, but maybe 5 or 6. But I can remember when he chose, when I was 6 years old, to give me the gift of himself." Mm. He cut back on his work, and every Tuesday, he spent the afternoon and evening with me. She said, "He's never giving me a greater gift." And Dr. Swenson's going to explain to you how to do that.
You know, Dr. Larimore, you stepped back and maybe could have made more money had you kept working. But you created real wealth in yourself, your family, and your kids by doing that.
Oh, there's no question, Ryan. I'm so glad that Daddy did that. Ryan, I know you're glad your daddy invested in you. Mm-hmm. But that step one is the time. And the time then opens up that the quantity time, whatever you can give, opens up those quality moments. You see that in Lincoln. You cannot program with Lincoln or Lucy quality time. It just happens.
Ryan, I don't know if you remember a story that I told in the first film series many, many years ago, but I talked about a conversation that you and I had over and over and over again. I'll bet you 50 times we had it. I would be sitting at my desk, and Ryan, when he was 4, we'll say.
This is one of my most cherished memories.
Really? Is that right? He would come up to me and he would say, "I want to get in your lap." And I would say, "No way." And he'd say, "Why?" And this all scripted. We both knew what each other was going to say. And I would say, "Because only my son can climb in my lap. No one else can walk up to me without asking and get up in my lap. Only one." And he said, "I'm your son." And I would say, "Are you really?" And he'd say, "Yes, I'm your son, and I'm coming up." And he would climb up in my lap.
You would continue that. You'd go, "Well, I have a son. My son has blonde hair." Yeah. And I say, "I have blonde hair." You go, "My son's name is James Ryan." I do that with Lincoln now.
I wish Ryan. Our listeners could see both of your eyes. Ryan, the tears in yours, and Jim, the tears in yours.
I honestly didn't know you remembered that. Oh, my goodness.
You know, we've got listeners who may be 60 or 70 years old who've never done that with their daughter or with their son, and they can. They can today. I was with a man 2 months ago. He's in a small group of men I'm working with, and we got talking about how his 3 sons hated him because of the way he parented. And we talked about redeeming the moment now. And to that man's credit, he's a former fighter pilot. He's a well-decorated man. He came to Christ at his 5th year of being in solo confinement in the Hanoi Hilton. He was a POW, and that's where Christ found him. But to that man's credit, he got on a plane, he flew to Miami to be with his son to say, I am sorry and I love you. I don't expect a response. I don't want a response. And his adult son broke down in tears, sobbing. He had waited his whole life to hear that. That moment of affirmation can occur at any point of life, but it's best when it occurs young. And Luann, to go back to the question you asked so long ago in the program, is that those relationships can begin to be repaired so that these very difficult topics can be discussed. And the process of discussing them builds trust, it builds relationship, but it lets your kids know this is a safe place.
Walt, let's meander into a very controversial subject. In fact, this book that you have has got 30 important questions in it and wonderful answers. But there were two more that you submitted to the publisher, and they would not allow you to include them. And I don't want to be critical of anybody. I'm not even going to name them. But those two chapters dealt with the question, am I gay?
Yeah.
The fear of homosexuality.
Yeah.
My goodness, what an important issue. In fact, one of the secular reviewers even dinged you in this book for saying that subject is conspicuously absent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what a shame.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me what you wrote that could not be
expressed. It broke my heart, Jim, because as you know, as a child psychologist, kids wrestle with gender, often starting at an early age, as they figure out, who am I and what does it mean to be a man and what does it mean to be a woman? And it's very, very common for young boys and young girls to be most attracted to the same sex. Young boys become best friends with other boys. I remember
Sigmund Freud called it a homosexual phase. It's not.
No.
It's just developmental growth is what
and
it
I
is.
I think it's divinely designed. It's perhaps best illustrated with David and Jonathan's intimate, loving relationship of each other as two young men, not a homosexual relationship, but a man-to-man relationship that I think is designed to model male-to-male relationship as it should be in adulthood. And so kids wrestle with that, and a culture will often tell them, if you like another guy, then that means you must be gay, and therefore you should this or that or the other. And I felt it was important to give a message that that's not the case. And little boys routinely think about this. They routinely question it. And I felt like it was an important topic
and
to
address.
And especially
with the emphasis now in the schools on this subject, it really forces a kid to begin to say, wait a minute, am I or am I not? And there's great fear associated with that. And what a shame to have a counselor or somebody in authority come to you and say, if you feel that way, you probably are. I think we send many young boys and some girls into that world of homosexuality or lesbianism by the way we deal with this question.
And I wanted parents to have this equipping information so that they could talk to their kids about it. And I was deeply saddened that that wasn't an option. For whatever reason, the decision was made not to include those chapters. But I hope one day they'll see the light of day and parents can have that information.
Will you let us include them on our website?
Oh, I'd be delighted, Jim.
Let's put those there.
Yeah. Let's do it. I said in our program last time that this book, The Ultimate Guy's Body Book, is a good work. This is going to be very helpful to parents. And I hope you sell a million copies. Mm-hmm. I really do. And it is so good to have you back to talk about what you're thinking and what you're doing these days. You're turning out books like I can't believe.
That's your fault. You started that, Jim, 10 years ago. And I'm thankful to you and the message you've had. I've told you on the air many times before how God used you in Barb and Mai's life in many ways. He's used you in Kate and Scott's life. My prayer is not so much that it sell anything, but that God would use it to bear his fruit in his people. That the parents who are listening to this and apply this information to their kids can be salt and light to other parents who have the same confusion and the same questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Walt, we've already said there are about 30 different questions in here, and we can't cover them all, but there are just a couple hot buttons that I know me as a mom, I'm just dying to hear your answers to. This whole issue of body art is a big deal right now, but you address this, don't you?
Yeah, it was a very difficult chapter to write, the tattoo and piercing chapter, because it's become so common, and I didn't want to be a prude, if you would. So I wanted parents and their young men to be aware of the risks, the potential risks, and they are there. But even more, I wanted young men to think about the implications of their decisions later. And when it comes to tattooing, body art, for example, one of the wisest pieces of counsel that I got came from one of our young adolescent reviewers. And he said, I would very much like to have some body art. I very much would. But my body's not my own. It not only belongs to my God, it belongs to my future wife. And I don't want to make this decision without her involvement. That answer totally blew me away. The wisdom of that young man was powerful. And I put his letter in here. Not speaking for or against, because there's Christians that will decide both, but rather looking at the cost, looking at the risk, looking at the benefits, and then asking God, what would you have me do with this piece of flesh that you so honored that you call it the temple of the Holy Spirit? So how should I handle this temple in this critical area? And so to be able to talk with your parents about that.
When you talked about risks, you were referring, I think, to contaminated equipment, needles.
Yeah.
Infection, for example. Infection risk.
C and
after you have a tattoo or piercing, you can't donate blood for a year. Why is that? Mm-hmm. Because of the potential infection. It's a very low risk, but it's a very potentially serious risk. There are certain tattoos, for example, that women get in the lower area of the spine that can prevent them from having epidural anesthesia, for example, when they're having a baby. There are certain types of piercings and body art that can reduce certain types of diagnostic testing later. And so I just think it's important to talk about the pros, the cons, the risks, the benefits, to take it in front of the Lord, to pray about it.
And this subject is one of the 30 questions in your book.
Let me just ask you one other one, too, that's a little bit sensitive. We actually heard from a listener who brought up the whole topic of pornography, and they said their 11-year-old had already been exposed to it. How would they deal with that?
I came home from work one day. Scott, I think, was in the sixth grade at the time, and Barb was waiting at the door. This was not always a good sign when Barb was waiting at the door. And so she gave me a quick greeting. She pulls out a piece of paper, and it's a young lady wearing nothing. And she unfolded the piece of paper, and she said, I found this in your son's dresser drawer.
Your son, not
your son's dresser drawer. Deal with it. And so,
did he know she had found that photo?
At that point, he did not know. So his father and he went out back, and we sat down. And Ryan, I thought, this is a critical moment in our relationship and in his development. And so without showing him the picture, I told him a story. I said, I remember when I was about your age, I went to school. And I opened up my locker. And in those days, lockers were not locked. Mm. You know, so I opened my locker, and there hanging on the door was a pinfold of a magazine. It was the American Nudist Association magazine. And there was a young lady stepping into a pool with nothing on. If I had a police artist, we could replicate that picture in every detail. Because God's divine design for men is for images to sear into their brain.
You mean that's still in your
brain? Oh, it's still there.
Yeah.
It is still there. And Scott, you're going to have to decide what images you carry into your marriage bed. You're going to have that decision. And here's one, and I pulled it out, that you've already put in. Mm-hmm. You're going to have many, many more opportunities. And let's talk about it. And that discussion was one of our most wonderful discussions, and it's led to the fact that even until today, decades later, he and I are sexual accountability partners. Mm. And so every place that I go on the internet, Scott knows about. Every place he goes on the internet, I know about. Mm. it wasn't just dad and son, but it was brothers in Christ talking about, hey, this is a big deal for us guys. How can we deal with this together? Wow. And I'm thankful to God for what I think was a wise response to that.
That memory mechanism that you're talking about, and I remember from my own pornography commission experience, is stamped into the brain by epinephrine. And it actually, there's a chemical basis for that image that remains for life. It is amazing what pornography does to you.
Our kids are one click away from the most perverse pornography imaginable, and it's free. Parents who let kids have unfettered internet in their bedrooms. Imagine, if you would, it's a dark, stormy night, and you hear a knock on the door. And there's somebody dressed in an oilskin raincoat and, you know, and scruffy shoes and unshaven, a cigar hanging out and a wet hat. And you say, can I help you? And he says, yeah, I want to go to your kid's bedroom. And you go, for what? He said, I want to help him out. What parent in the world would open that door? Virtually none, hopefully. And yet, if we let our kids have unfettered internet, we have invited that person into our kid's bedroom, and that person has no good intent, nothing but evil intent. We have the responsibility, the obligation, and the privilege to protect ourselves and protect our kids from that evil.
That man at the door is the pornography industry.
Exactly. And Jim, you saw it back with the commission, and we're talking quite some time ago.
Yeah, and it's far, far worse now than it was then. Yeah. Well, that illustrates just how willing you were in this book to deal with the tough questions. And difficult, embarrassing questions are hard to discuss with 13-year-old boys. So it really is important to have a guide or something that you can use. First of all, that you not only discuss the moral and biblical issues here, but the medical and psychological.
Sure.
It's all in.
Why are my feet big and why am I clumsy and when will I when will I get hair? I worried about that as a little boy. Will I ever have, you know, facial hair?
Why am I shorter than everybody else my class?
What's BO? And and then the wet dreams and the morning erections. And if sex is so great, why should I wait? Everyone's telling me not to wait. Why should I wait? And what's wrong with movies? And once you open up these topics, then they'll just pour out.
If they feel safe.
If they feel safe. And once again, to say to parents, you don't have to be the expert. And it's okay. It is absolutely okay to say, that's a great question. I don't have a clue what the answer is. But to know that you can ask the child's doctor, or you can ask a youth pastor, or you can ask a pastoral professional, that together you can say, hey, I don't know the answer to that, but we need to know that answer. Your dad, I need to know that answer. Let's look into it together. Let's look into it together.
Or let's turn to page 53.
That's
right there. Well, thank you, Walt. I appreciate you and your love for the family and your love for the Lord. It comes through in everything you do. And you've dedicated your medical practice to the advancing the cause of Christ. And that impresses me.
Well, it's been a blessing to be with you. And you know how you've touched our life as a family and me as a man.
You're so, working on six books at one time now. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, the Dobson effect, you know, blame it on you. And yet, you know the power of the written word. We can talk with individuals one-on-one, and that's important and it's critical. But through the written word, we have the opportunity to speak to thousands and sometimes millions. May God use his word through the impact of his Spirit in his people, because we can change a world. It's hungry. It wants this information. Let's get it to him.
Title of the book is The Ultimate Guy's Body Book, The Not-So-Stupid Questions About Your Body. Thank you, Walt, for being with us.
Good to be here.
Well, I know our guest today, Dr. Walt Larimore, has certainly touched the lives of so many of you listening today. And Ryan, it'll probably come as no surprise to anybody that we have that book available here.
We do. And to find that resource, along with the two chapters that were discussed earlier on gender confusion, which are not a part of the book, you can go to drjamesdobson.org to request all of that information.
And while you're there, of course, we highly recommend checking out our very own Dr. James Dobson's book called Bringing Up Boys, with so much confusion about the role of men in our society today. It's no wonder parents are at a loss about how to bring up their sons.
Well, Luann, our culture has vilified masculinity, and as a result, boys are suffering and men are suffering, let alone the women that are wanting to have relationships with them.
Yeah.
A lot of parents have tough questions, and my dad tackles a lot of them and offers advice and encouragement based on a firm foundation of biblical principles. And again, all these can be found at our website, which is drjamesdobson.org.
And finally, would you also consider clicking on that donate tab while you're online? We really do completely rely on your financial support and your prayer support to keep this ministry going. You can donate at drjamesdobson.org or by calling 877-732-6825.
Thanks for joining us today, and please return again for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.